I'd like to invite you to turn to the book of Jude, and there's two verses that I want to read in the book of Jude. It's verse 14 and verse 15. My subject this morning is the revelation of Christ. The revelation of Christ. There are basically three places that this is recorded. It's recorded in Revelation 19, 11 through 21. Also 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. But I want to use this morning this passage that I have given to you, and that is Jude, verse 14 and verse 15. This deals with the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jude is writing here in verse 14 and says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." There are two phases of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, or we could refer to them as two aspects. The first is the rapture of the saints, and the second is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the first, the Lord comes in the air for his saints. In the second, the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to the earth with his saints. These are the two aspects of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, he comes for his saints in the air before the tribulation period. But here, after 7 years, then he returns with his saints to set up his millennium reign or his millennium kingdom. Now, there are several things that we'll notice this morning concerning the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are various titles that are given to the revelation. Some refer to it as the second phase of his coming. And that's okay, that's a good title. Some refer to it as the second advent, and that's good. Some refer to it as the day of the Lord. Either one of all of these three come to the same thing, and that is the revealing or the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes in the air for his saints, only the saints will see him. The rest of the world will not see him at that time. Only those that are caught up, that are raptured, that are caught up, will literally see the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe others will know something is going on, but they won't know exactly what's happening or taking place, because they will not see the Lord Jesus Christ. But here, every eye shall see him. At the revealing or the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, every eye shall behold, or every eye shall see him. Some events before this revelation, as I've already said, there will be the rapture of the saints, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. The Antichrist will be revealed, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. The Holy Spirit will be removed in church capacity, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. Events in heaven and on earth before this revelation. On earth, the Antichrist will reveal himself and exalt himself as God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 3 and 4 talks of this. And that will be during the time of the 7 years tribulation here on earth. The first 3.5 years, there will be the forming of one world religion, one world government, one world army, and one world economy. I sometimes rejoice in a sense, and I'm appalled in a sense when I hear some of our leaders talk about a one world government or a one world, and then they talk about a one world religion. I know that they're only mouthpiece that is being used to prepare or to pave the way for what is coming that God is going to do. In the middle of the tribulation, Daniel chapter 9 And there in verse 27, we see that that is in the middle of that week after 3.5 years, and the Antichrist fully declares himself. And we preached about that last night. But in heaven, there is the judgment seat of Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5. And there in verse 10 and Romans 14 and verse 10. And then there is the marriage of the Lamb. I was getting ready to indulge in that this morning, but I didn't make it. But anyway, that is fully all the way through. I preached most of it. But we're thankful for these events that are going on in heaven, the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage of the Lamb. Now the day of Christ begins at the rapture and continues in heaven at the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage of the Lamb. The day of the Lord, that always carries with it the thought of judgment. Now the day of Christ always carries with it the thought of blessing. The day of the Lord, as far as judgment, it includes the time of the tribulation, and it includes the entire millennium age. Not only will that 7 years of tribulation be a time of God's judgment and of God's wrath being manifest, but in the millennium that we will preach about tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ will rule with a rod of iron. Sin will not be tolerated whatsoever. The revelation will be preceded by some definite signs. If you'll go to Matthew chapter 24 with me for a few minutes. There in Matthew chapter 24, and I would like for us to notice in verse 14 down through verse 29. There are some definite signs that will precede the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 24 and verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore see the abomination of desolation, and what you tie this in is with the middle of the week there in Daniel 9:27, spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. We preached of that last night. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Now this is when that the devil is going to try to destroy Israel. Is going to try to wipe her out totally. It says in verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Now notice, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And look at the next verse. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So what we see is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ will be preceded by some definite signs. These will be in the latter 3.5 years of the tribulation period. But then when Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica, go to 2 Thessalonians with me, if you will, and notice when Paul was writing there to the church at Thessalonica, what he said there in 2 Thessalonians and in chapter 2 and in verse 1 down through verse 8. Notice these verses with me, if you will, please. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He said, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first," and notice, "and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Now what we have, we come all the way down to the middle part of the tribulation period, according to Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. But then there's the latter 3.5 years. And then he says, "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Here's what is going to take place. At this present time, there are many antichrists. But it is not the time for the antichrist to be revealed. I believe that not only are there the saints of God here that have the Holy Spirit indwelling them, but there are the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ that have the special indwelling of the Holy Spirit in them. But when the Lord comes, we're going to be taken out. And then will be the revealing. Then will be the revealing of the Antichrist. I don't know who the Antichrist is. Many people speculate and want to think it's so-and-so. They want to think it's a Jew, or they want to think it's somebody else. I don't really know who it is. But I do know, and I'll probably never know in this life. But I do know that he could possibly already be on the scene. He could possibly already be working already at this present time. Because we could be gone that quick. We could be gone just in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So what you see, he said here in verse 7, "For the mystery of iniquity hath already worked. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." We must always keep in mind that it is God that is in control of all things and of all events. And God is in control this very day. But then he said, "And then shall that wicked be revealed," and of course that's going to be during that 7 years tribulation period. And then there is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. He said, "Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him who is coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders." It just all goes right together. You come right down, you have the Antichrist being revealed, power being demonstrated, but then the Lord Jesus Christ comes from heaven with his saints, and he is destroyed with the brightness of his coming. One of the most miraculous things to me is the Word of God. Everything, it just goes around. It all began with God bringing everything to existence just by speaking. It's going to all go out of existence the same way. All evil is going to be put down. Satan and the forces of evil are going to be overcome. And it'll be the sword of his mouth, which is what? The Word of God. It'll be the Word of God. And so what we see here, revelation means revealing. Now he is coming as a thief in the night. But that will be when he comes in the air. And as a thief in the night, many will never know that he's come. But we'll know that he's come because we'll see him and we'll be caught up. But when he comes here at the revelation of Jesus Christ, he will reveal himself. Because now he is going to sit on his throne. Now he is going to rule. And now he's going to reign. He is going to be the preeminent one. The forces of Satan are going to be put down. They will no longer have any freedom to be able to do as they do today. So revelation means revealing. Every eye shall see him. Now I used this verse earlier, but I think it would be a good one for us to notice again. And that's Revelation chapter 1, and there in verse 7. Now listen to this. Behold, he cometh with clouds. And notice this. And every eye shall see him. Now, when we talk of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's all one. But it has different aspects or different phases. There's only one second coming. But there's two phases of his coming. The first, he's coming in the air. And not everybody's going to see him. Only those that are caught up or those that are raptured are going to see him. But then when he comes back in power and great glory, here he's going to come with clouds, and every eye shall see him. You remember I brought out this little part here of the middle of the verse. And they also which pierced him. There's a purpose for that, because the Israel is going to be saved. And you'll see here, and it says, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so. And he goes on and says, amen. But the idea here is, the reason they're going to wail is because they're going to see him. He's going to reveal himself. He's going to fully manifest himself. And he has not done so up until this time. Now there are various views concerning the second advent, or concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like there's several views about the rapture before the tribulation. There is, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these because I want to go right through this, but there is the post-millennium view. They believe in a literal second advent. They believe in a literal millennium. The controversy is who institutes the millennium and the relation of Christ to the millennium and the time of Christ coming in relation to the millennium. They're known as post-millennialists. There are those that are called amillennial. How's the amillennial view? They believe that there will be no literal millennium on earth. A lot of your different denominations believe this. A lot of your false denominations believe that there will not be a literal millennium reign. And they believe that all the prophecies concerning the kingdom are being fulfilled before his advent. And they believe that Christ comes after what they regard as the millennium. And then there is the premillennium view, which I believe is the biblical view. And that is, Christ will return to earth literally and bodily before the millennium age, just like he does when he comes in the air before the tribulation. In the millennium kingdom, all of Israel's covenants will be literally fulfilled. During the millennium reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why that it's good to study, to preach on and to study the covenants. The covenants that are given that have not yet been fulfilled. And in the millennium kingdom, all of Israel's covenants will be literally fulfilled. The millennium kingdom will be 1,000 years in length. The tribulation will be seven literal years. The millennium will be 1,000 literal years. then the kingdom will be given by the Son to the Father, and it will merge with His eternal kingdom. And it will be like I spoke and said this morning, the eternal ages will what that it will become. Now I want us to consider, if time permits, I want us to consider this morning four things concerning the revelation of Christ. The first thing that I want us to consider in the revelation of Christ is the person of the revelation. If you'll go in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians, I'll try to give you some time to get there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and there in verse 7, when Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, and what he brings out here in this passage of Scripture, 2 Thessalonians, and in chapter 1 and in verse 7, he says this, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us." Now look, "when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels." Now when He comes, let me just take time to do this. When He comes in the air, it will just be His appearing. For all He's, the purpose of that first aspect of the second coming is He's just coming to get us. He's not coming to do anything else. He's just coming for us. He's coming to rapture and to take us out. But of course we're going to go, and during that 7 years, we're going to be with Him. There's a thought that is a glorious thought. When Paul was writing there, and I used these verses of the night, and I sometimes when I'm reading a verse, and you know how that the Lord will just give you one little part of a verse and it will become such a blessing to you. And one of the things that he says there in 1 Thessalonians 4, and when you read from 13 down through 18, and when before he concludes that passage, when he says in verse 18, "Wherefore comfort you," one of these words, up in the verse before that it says, "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." I mean, He's coming for us, and there will never be another time, another period of time, there will never be even a day or an hour or a minute that we will not be with the Lord. "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now, so when He comes, and of course I don't want to get away from this here in 2 Thessalonians 1:7, but when He comes in the air, He's coming literally just to catch us up, just to take us out of this old sinful world, and then for the purpose of beginning to pour out the wrath, the judgment of God's wrath. The cup of iniquity is full, and it's overflowing. And I believe it's even seemingly that way, even today. But the Lord is going to come in the air for us, take us up, and we're going to spend that 7 years with the Lord. The judgment seat of Christ and the marriage of the Lamb. And then that time's going to come to an end, and here He comes. But this time He doesn't come alone. There's two things that are read, and I've already read them to you. I read one in Jude 14 and 15, and then here in 2 Thessalonians 1:7, when He comes, He's not coming alone. And there's going to be two different groups with Him. The first group that's going to be with Him that I read in 14 and 15 of Jude is 10,000 saints. All of those saints that He came for and caught up, and they're coming back with Him. But there's also going to be another group that is with Him, and it's found here in this verse 7. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels." It's going to be, folks, it's going to be a host. I mean, I can't fathom it. I can't describe it. All I can do is by faith realize that here the Lord is going to be revealed from heaven. Now, the Lord's going to be the focus of attention.
And people, it's seemingly as though they're not going to see anybody else other than the Lord Jesus Christ. But with him is going to be all of his mighty angels. And with him is going to be all the redeemed. All of the saints are going to be with him. What a scene. What a glorious scene. I think sometimes in the Old Testament of how that God, and it's the same way today, we are surrounded by principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. We are surrounded by demonic spirits that we don't really realize many times that they're around us and where we are. But we're also surrounded by a heavenly host. There was times that God in the Old Testament, when they would go out to fight a battle, Israel would, and they would think that they were outnumbered. And then God would just say, look up on the mountain. And God would reveal that, and they would say, it's impossible for us to go out and win this victory. There's such a multitude. And God would have to show them, well, there's more of you than there is of them. And he would reveal to them who it was. And I think of the majestic scene of the Lord Jesus Christ revealing himself. Even though there will be the mighty angel, and even though there will be all of the saints of God, the focus will be on the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be seeing. He will reveal himself. He will fully reveal himself. It says, when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven. What a time. And we're going to be in on that. Sometimes I hear people say, why do you preach on Bible prophecy? They'll say, why don't you preach on salvation, or why don't you preach on church truth? Said, and you know, they're so ignorant, they say, that don't involve us. It does involve us. Every aspect of biblical prophecy. The rapture involves us. The time of the tribulation period involves us. The revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ involves us. The millennium reign of the Lord Jesus Christ involves us. The battle of Armageddon involves us. The judgment of the Gentile nations involves us. We're involved in all of it. And the reason we're involved in all of it is because that we are with the Lord. And we will be with him. The great white throne judgment will involve us. We'll be right there. People have a misconception. They get hung up in time and forget about eternity and forget about the events that God has. So, the wonderful thing is the person of the revelation is the literal bodily return of Jesus Christ. Now, he shall come himself. I think it carries with it the thought or the expression, and I use this verse of the other night in the rapture to denote just that when he ascended back into heaven, you know, the cloud took him out of sight, and I refer to the clouds, but I think in essence this verse here in Acts 1:11 has more to do with the revelation than it does with the rapture. And Acts 1:11 says, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus this same Jesus which is taken up into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. They saw him go into heaven. We're going to see him come back. And then we're going to go with him. And then when we come back with him, then every eye is going to see him. And he's going to be fully revealed. He shall come in the clouds, and he's going to come in power and great glory. Now, when he comes for us, it'll be glorious. But he's not going to come in power and great glory. For it, and of course, his coming will be with power. And you know, how do you say this? How do you really say this to really express yourself? But what I mean by that is, he's only coming for us. He's not coming back then to put down Satan and to rule and to reign. But when he's revealed from heaven, that is described in a way when he's coming back to rule and to reign. And to put down the forces of evil, it describes it, always describes it as he's coming in power and great glory. Now, look at these verses. Go to the book of Matthew with me right quickly. I want to get more done in the first part, but when I get excited about this, when I talk about the Lord himself, And then when I get to thinking about the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 16, if you'll go there first, and notice with me in verse 27 of Matthew 16, look what it says. It says, For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, then shall he reward every man according to their works. Look in chapter 24, as I've already read there of Matthew, and in verse 30 of chapter 24, and look what it says. It says, And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Go to the 25th chapter and verse 31. And this, of course, is the judgment of the Gentile nations that's going to take place, which will be at the end of the tribulation period. There are so many things that overlap. The tribulation is 7 years. I believe that Armageddon is going to be more of a campaign than just a little skirmish. I believe it's going to overlap the 3.5 years. And so there is going to be a putting the end of Armageddon. There's going to be the judgment of the Gentile nations. And all of this is going to take place right at the end of the 7 years tribulation before the millennium reign. And it all takes place with the coming of the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in Matthew 25 and verse 31. It says this. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. The throne of his glory is going to be that millennium throne there at Jerusalem, where that he's going to sit on that throne, and he's going to rule and he's going to reign. I continually read, and you don't have to turn there because I've already read it twice this morning, but in Revelation 1:7 he said, Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. In other words, he's coming in power, and he's coming in great glory. And there in 2 Thessalonians 1:8, Paul said that he's coming in flaming fire. For in the 8th verse of 2 Thessalonians 1, he said, In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the person of the revelation is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's go to the second thing. The second thing is the place of the revelation. To understand prophecy in a biblical way, and I said at the very offset of this, two things you've got to understand. The second coming is one, but there's two phases of it. You've got to understand in the first phase of the second coming, he comes in the air. You won't find anything said about he don't come to the earth. He just comes in the air. He don't come any farther. He don't come down to the earth. He just comes in the air. And see, and what makes this plain is says, and we're caught up together to meet the Lord where? In the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is the key to understanding Bible prophecy. This is the key. He comes in the air. And we are caught up together. That is, those that have been resurrected, we've been translated. We're caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. But now, the revelation or the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I read there, and you're probably still there in Matthew 25 and verse 31, as I read there, you'll notice the difference here. It says, When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, now this is the revelation, and all the holy angels with him, now notice, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. That signifies or tells us now at this second phase, our aspect of the second coming, he's coming to the earth. Now in the first aspect of faith, he's just coming in the air. And we're going to be caught up and meet him in the air. But now, at the second phase of the second coming, he's coming to the earth. I realize and know that the throne of His glory will be on earth. And He's going to sit on that throne. The Davidic covenants promised that. The covenants in the Old Testament promised that. Promised that there would be a throne, that there would be a kingdom. Promised that there would be a throne, and that the Son of God would be the one that would rule and reign and sit on that throne. And that's going to be when He comes to the earth. And He's going to sit on that throne, and He's going to rule, and He's going to reign. Now, Christ is now king over a spiritual kingdom. There is a spiritual kingdom. I believe that even He portrays this when He gave the commission to the Lord's church, when He said in Matthew 28:18-20, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I'm with you all the way, even unto the end of the world." I know that was the commission of the church, but I think it demonstrates that He now is king over a spiritual kingdom. There is a spiritual kingdom, and He's king over it. But there's going to be a literal kingdom. John 18:36 said this, and I believe it would be good for us to look at that. John chapter 18, and there in verse 36, to bring this point out. Look at what He says here in this, Jesus says in the 36th verse. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." Now what's He speaking of? Here's what happened. When Jesus came, He came unto His own received Him not. Why didn't they receive Him? Because they were not looking for a person to come and to die on a cross. They were looking for the Messiah to come and to sit on a throne. But they didn't know their prophecy. Even they, their own prophets, prophesied of the millennium. And as one of the brothers said, well, most of your Old Testament has to deal with prophecy. And most of your Old Testament, and most of it has to do with the 1,000 years literal reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. And they were confounded and confused because they said, this cannot be the Messiah, this cannot be the Christ, because said he is succumbing to death and going to Calvary and dying. But we're looking for one that's going to come and going to lead us, going to rule us, and going to sit on a throne. Well, they just didn't realize that that was yet future and what was going to transpire and what was going to take place. For He said here in this verse, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If My kingdom were of this world, then would My servants fight." Now there is going to come a time that this is going to transpire, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now here I underline this, but now is My kingdom not from hence. He made it very clear and very plain that His kingdom now was only a spiritual kingdom. That there was going to be a literal kingdom. We'll preach about that tonight. But in Colossians 1:13, it says this, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." What kingdom is that? Into that spiritual kingdom. Where is He now? He is now sitting with the Father in His throne. If you will look with me in Hebrews chapter 1, and there in verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 1, it gives us this, and it says in this verse, it says, "Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins," notice, "sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." Where He is now, He is sitting with the Father in His throne. It is said in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with Me in My throne." Now this is Jesus. Look at that. And He's talking to these seven churches, or these churches here of Asia Minor. And in the third chapter and verse 21, notice, it says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne.
Now, where's that throne going to be? It's going to be on earth.
Because look what the rest of that verse says. Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. In other words, now he's sitting with the Father at his throne, and he is making intercession for us. But there is coming a day and a time when that he is going to sit on the throne. Where is that throne going to be?
It's going to be on earth. It's going to be on earth.
He, Christ, will ascend his throne on earth at the second advent. That's exactly what is brought out to us here in Matthew 25, 31 and Revelation 3. And there in verse 21, he will come to earth to reign with the saints. I think, and we sometimes, and I know we speak, and we think, let me just throw this in right quickly. We're going to have glorified bodies. There's going to be somebody, though, to rule and reign over that don't have glorified bodies. Now, where are they going to come from? I'm just sort of whipping your appetite and sort of to make you think, where are they going to come from? But we're going to rule and reign with him. And we're going to have glorified bodies. Look in verse 10 of Revelation 5, and it says this. It says, when it's talking about then heaven and singing the new song, he said, and they sung a new song in verse 9, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. Now notice in verse 10, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign where? On the earth. Now what have we been doing for 7 years? We've been with the Lord. We've been with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been at the judgment seat of Christ. And we've been at the marriage of the Lamb. And then he comes in power and great glory. And of course, I'm getting ahead of myself because that's the purpose of this. That's the purpose of the revelation. But he's coming. And the place is he coming to? He's coming back to earth. What's he going to do at earth? Well, the purpose of you bring this out if I get to it. But he's coming back to earth, and his feet's going to touch the earth. When he comes in the air, his feet is not going to touch the earth. Then he will sit on the throne, the saints will sit with him on his throne, and the saints' reign is to be on earth. Christ's throne and his kingdom will be on earth. That's where it's going to be. When he returns, he'll return to the Mount of Olives. The writer Luke said in Acts 1:12, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. But now, let me show you what's going to happen, or let the Scripture show you, reveal to you what's going to happen. Zechariah. Go in the Old Testament to Zechariah, and there in chapter 14 of Zechariah. Now, and I want to keep emphasizing this because when he comes in the air for the saints, very little is going to be realized other than several people have speculated and said, you know, what's going to happen? What kind of traumatic time is it going to be if the Lord were to come right now and to take all the saved out? Well, you know, you can imagine the confusion. You can imagine, of course, what would happen. But that will be a different thing than when he comes to the earth. For Zechariah chapter 14, and look with me in verse 4, and it says this. And his feet, and it says this in a way we can understand. It says, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. Now look what's going to happen. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward of the east toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall be removed toward the north, and half of it toward the south. I mean, when he comes, he's coming in power and great glory. And when his feet
even touches the earth, the mouth there is going to divide. The topography of the ground is going to change. It is going to take a change. Power and great glory. And this is only just to manifest, and I know there's a lot going to happen, but all I'm saying here is this is to bring out that the place of His return or His revelation is going to be to the earth. Job said this. Job said in Job 19:25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." And here's what he said. "And that he shall stand at the latter day upon" what? "Upon the earth." This is the place of the revelation or the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, thirdly, the participants of the revelation. I'm going to give this all this to you right quick. The persons of the revelation, of course, is the Lord Himself, which will be referred to as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The participants of the revelation will be the saints. Who are these saints? It'll be a portion of His people that He came to die for in Matthew 1:21. It'll be the raptured saints of 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. And they shall come with the person of the revelation, as we read of them in Jude 14. He said, "The Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints." Paul to Thessalonica said, "To the end He may establish your hearts unblameable and holy before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of His saints." All of the raptured saints, all who return with Him among all the saints, will be the wife of the King. Zechariah 14:5 says this, "And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountain shall reach unto Aziel, yea, ye flee, and like as ye fled before in the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee." But as I said earlier, there's going to be some more participants. The holy angels. The mighty angels. Paul, when writing to Thessalonica, said in 2 Thessalonians 1:7, "And do you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels." And he goes on, and there's scripture after scripture concerning His angels, concerning the holy angels. But now let me right quickly get the purpose of the revelation. Christ has been in heaven with the raptured saints. 7 years tribulation has continued here on earth. Here with Israel. There will be the formulation of a false religious system under the false prophet. There will be the pouring out of the judgments under the seals. There will be the separation of the 144,000 in Revelation 7. There will be the trumpet judgments in Revelation 8 through 11. There will be the rise of God's witnesses in Revelation 11. There will be the persecution of Israel in Revelation 12. There will be the pouring out of the bowl judgments. There will be the overthrowing of the false professing church. There will be the camel pain of Armageddon, Ezekiel 38:39, and Revelation 16:7-16. He returns with His saints to the earth, Matthew 24:29-30. I realize that I'm just spitting this out here to you. He returns for the resurrection of the tribulation saints. Go with me to Revelation 20. And I want you to notice something. There is the first resurrection and the second resurrection. The first resurrection has three aspects. I'm just putting this out to you. The first resurrection has three aspects. There's the first fruits, the harvest, and the gleanings. The first fruits is Christ and those that arose. The harvest is at the rapture. The gleanings is at the end of the tribulation period. And that concludes the first resurrection. Now look what it says here in Revelation 20. For I believe it's very important that we have this in mind and that we read this in Revelation chapter 20. And I know what it says in verse 1 and 2. But I want us to go right on down immediately to... And of course, it's talking about the devil being bound for 1,000 years. And as one of the brothers said, 6 or 7 times 1,000 years is mentioned right here in this passage of Scripture. But in verse 3, it says this,
and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. Notice, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And that's another message. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And notice now, and I saw the heads, the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. And it tells us from which period they come from, because it says, which had not worshipped the beast nor his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And notice, and they lived. There's a resurrection. They had died. They had been martyred. But he said, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But now look at the next verse. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. And this is what he says. This is what? The first resurrection. That includes the first fruits, the harvest, the gleanings. And then he says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. I'm thankful to be part of the first resurrection. For look what it says. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations. And he goes on and says that whose number is as the sand of the sea. So what he does, he returns for the resurrection of the tribulation saints. These were slain during the tribulation period. But he also returns to destroy the beast and his armies. Revelation 19 describes that. I'm not going to read all these verses, but I'll just give them to you so you can read them yourself. It describes this in Revelation 19, 11 through 21. But he will come as a king to judge and to reign. And we've given you many verses on that. And he comes to bring judgment on the nations, which is the judgment of the Gentile nations in Matthew 25. He comes for the regathering of Israel in Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. And he comes for judgment on the living Israel. And he comes for the restoration of Israel to the land. And he comes for the binding of Satan. All of these are purposes of the coming. He comes that the righteous may enter the kingdom on the earth. He shall rule over that kingdom with his saints. Now let me sort of bring conclusion. The saints will be raptured when Christ comes for his people in the air. We will be taken to the Father's house for the judgment of believers and marriage of the Lamb. The tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble on earth, will last 7 years. The campaign of Armageddon will take place in the latter part of the tribulation. Then Christ will come. It will be the day of the Lord. He'll come as a judge. He'll come as a king to reign for 1,000 years. And we're exhorted for these great and glorious truths. How thankful I am. How God has designed it. How God has saved us. And we'll all have the place that God has given us. So the Lord willing, tonight we're going to the millennium. And I have already, in these messages, I've already incorporated 15 to 20 sermons that I usually preach in just in these few messages. So I apologize for trying to cram so much in, but it at least whets your appetite. You'll begin to study on your own. Listen to Brother Titus, and you'll begin to study on your own and search out, and it'll become a glorious thing to you. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. I'm thankful to be saved. I remember one of his churches. He's coming for me. And if you're saved, he's coming for you. And if you're not saved this morning, the urgency of the hour is that you might receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.